I love to listen to my radio. Gee, how it thrills me when I hear it go.
Good morning, kiddies.
That's when I think of you. When shadows fall at the close of the day, I turn on the switch and it starts into play.
Hi, everybody. The Rotten One back here again for MSS on November 18th of 2017. Now, you know I am a back alley type of OTR guy. Always looking for the unusual. Most of the time, I play that, but not always. I like the mainstream stuff, too, and so tonight's going to be one of those nights. We'll start off with one of my favorites, and I'm not sure it's everybody's, but I've always liked it. Mostly because I like Raymond and his puns, etc., because I'm kind of a punny guy myself. This time, even Mary gets into the act a bit. So we're going back to 1946, Inner Sanctum, Strands of Death, and I guess that's what I have to say, right? So it's time to play the show. So, stupid, play the show.
To do that. Didn't you know that all our listeners hang on your every word?
Oh, yes, Mary. There's no better place than Inner Sanctum for people to get the news.
Or the news. As a matter of fact, we have some good news for our listeners right now. Folks, there's a new delight waiting for you when you try Lipton tea. Now, many of you may have been drinking tea for years, but until you taste Lipton, you just don't know the full pleasure of tea at its delicious best. Lipton, you see, has brisk flavor. In fact, brisk is the very word the tea experts themselves use to describe Lipton's spirited, full-bodied flavor. Unlike ordinary, dull-tasting teas, Lipton is never flat, but always hearty, satisfying. Lipton tea gives you more contentment in every cup. So do try it soon. It's tea at its tastiest. Lipton tea, with that grand, brisk flavor.
And now for tonight's story. It's an original radio play written especially for the Inner Sanctum by Hank Warner, called Strands of Death, and starring Santos Ortega in the role of Henry. Do you love your wife? Do you enjoy buying her a handsome fur piece, perfume, jewels, or nylon? Do you wonder secretly what you would do if the finery you bought her was used by her to win another man so that she could leave you? Oh, you can't answer, can you? Well, this is the story of one man who can. Meek, mild, Henry Turner.
I should have known at once. That morning in the office, when Judson was reading the newspaper aloud, that something was wrong.
The unidentified body of a young woman strangled with a brand new pair of nylons was found last night.
Unidentified?
Yeah. in the hallway of a rooming house at 72 Beach Street.
Unidentified.
Near the body, which was fully clothed, police found a handbag containing a sales slip from the Silvertone Hosiery Company.
Incredible.
Police had lost...
Helen always carried identification, charge account, keys.
That's nice to discover. And a second pair of nylons.
But if it wasn't Helen... No, no. Of course it was Helen.
Well, that's a pretty piece of news, eh, Turner? By the way, you bought some nylons for your wife the other day, didn't you? So what's the matter? You sick?
Was I sick? Johnson wanted to know. Wonder what his face would have looked like. But I told him right there that the police were wrong. That the body could be identified. That it was Helen. My wife. I went to the police. The body was at the morgue.
This way, sir. Here it is. Steady.
No. No. It's not Mrs. Turner. It's not Helen.
I know how you feel. The shock of relief.
But it wasn't relief. I walked from the morgue to our apartment. My brain was pounding with a question I hated to face. If it isn't your wife, who is it? If you didn't kill your wife, who did you kill? I didn't know. I got to the apartment. Weary, exhausted. Questions unanswered. My foot kicked a telegram that had been slipped under the door. I tore it open. It was from my wife. From Helen. The telegram was like a hand tearing the back curtain from my mind's eye. Could at last recall what had happened. What I had done. Why I had killed a strange woman. Thinking it was Helen. Whirled across my brain like a crazy picture. The night I came home after a hard day. Hello, baby.
Hello.
Gosh, I'm tired. Anything special for dinner? I could stand a good meal right now.
What do you expect me to do? Slave over a hot stove for you?
Oh, Helen, please. I'm sorry. I'll enjoy whatever you've got.
Maybe you will. But I'm sick of potato salad and cold cuts.
Oh, well.
That's all you ever say, oh, well.
Look, darling, I'm tired. Let's not argue. Please. After all, things could be worse. You get your permanence, new dresses all the time, shoes, hats. Why, you're the best-dressed woman in the crowd.
I suppose you'd like me to wear white.
Oh, that's where you're wrong, baby. You're a good looker and you need pretty clothes. And you can have all my money can buy. Happy? Let's have a kid, huh?
Oh, I guess you're good to me, Henry. Let's eat. What I was really upset about, I suppose, is that I haven't got a single pair of nylons to wear with a new dress I got today.
New dress?
Lovely, you like it. Black. I planned on wearing it tonight. It would look lovely with real sheer nylons.
Tonight?
Oh, I didn't tell you. Girls are having a bridge over at Margie's. I won't stay long. Do you mind, Henry? I'm not very hungry. I'll slip into the dress, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. Well,
potato salad's very good tonight. My compliments, Mr. Schmidt, darling.
Hey. That is stunning.
Like it?
And how? Yeah, you certainly should be wearing nylons with that dress. Yes, sirree.
Oh, well.
Oh, would you mind, darling, I bought a carton of cigarettes in my briefcase in the hall, please?
Oh, yeah, I better take a pack with me. Henry! Nylons! Oh, you beast, teasing me like this.
Oh, they're lovely.
Think nothing of it. Anytime you want nylons, just call on me.
When? Where? Did you have much trouble?
Ma'am, did you say trouble? Nothing at all. I just stood in line for 3 hours at the Silvertone shop. Of course, it rained for about 2 hours. But after all, nylons.
Oh, Henry, you're wonderful. Oh, I'm crazy about them. I'll put them right on. Oh, Marge and the girls will eat the hearts out.
If you permit my saying so, ma'am. You sure have a pretty pair of legs.
Oh.
Don't be late, will you?
Darling, I'll be back as soon as I can.
Bye. I sat around listening to the radio and reading the paper, waiting for Helen to come back. Hello?
Oh, Henry. Helen there?
Oh, hello, Marge. Didn't she... she went out about 2 hours ago. Why?
Just thought I'd tell her. Silvertone's got some nylons.
I'll tell her. How's your bridge party?
Bridge party? Well, that's tomorrow night. Be sure and remind her, please.
I will, Marge. All right. Good night. Bridge party. Tomorrow night. Marge's.
Sometimes I wonder whether it's worth the trouble just for one pair. So exhausting. I could stand a cocktail. Why are you looking at me like that?
Where shall we have it, Helen?
There you go again, Helen. Since you have Helen on your mind, call me Louise.
Cocktails. And then dinner. And I walked her home. In the hallway.
Who
It's all right. Please be out all the time. Oh, it's been a lovely evening. You really need those nylons?
I reached over to kiss her. She turned her head, swung her back to me. I put my arms around her waist, kissed her neck.
What's Helen got that I haven't got?
I got them for you, Helen.
What, Jay?
Rosie Dawn. So smooth and soft they are. They look lovely against your pretty white skin.
It's tickling my neck. What are you...
Look lovely around your pretty white throat. I got them for you, Helen. Just for you. Goodbye, Helen.
There probably were people who would have helped Louise just inside that doorway.
But they couldn't hear her, Mary. Nylon stockings aren't like chains. They don't rattle when they're wrapped around someone's throat.
Well, at that hour of the night, folks aren't expecting murders on their doorsteps. The family was probably out in the kitchen having a last-minute snack before bedtime. Perhaps the radio was on, and they were all listening to the latest news headlines. Meanwhile, Mother would be fixing up a plate of sandwiches and brewing up a pot of Lipton tea. For Lipton tea would surely be part of the picture. Served with a late evening snack, it gives a happy ending to the day. And because it's so relaxing and enjoyable, a piping hot cup of Lipton's adds extra delight to any meal. Why waste time just thinking about it? Why not get a package of Lipton tea tomorrow and treat yourself to its mellow, full-bodied flavor? Remember, Lipton's gives you brisk flavor.
Wonder whether Henry's realized his sheer recklessness. Pretty thin, isn't it? Poor fellow has just strangled Louise. A nylon collie baby, if ever there was one. Under the impression he was killing his wife, Helen. Let's see what else he has to say about the telegram he just got from his dear, dear wife.
The telegram I held in my shaking hands convinced me of the horrible truth. It wasn't Helen I had murdered. The telegram was dated the very night in which I had strangled the unidentified woman.
Please don't be too angry with me. It is for the best. I've decided to marry Billy as soon as we can get divorced. I'll be home in a couple of days to pick up my clothes. Please don't be too unhappy.
Don't be too unhappy. I wasn't. It was beyond that. I would never be unhappy again. Or happy. I felt only one desire. Kill Helen. I passed the nylon line again. Next day, walked by it. I was drawn back to it. I joined the line. I didn't move fast enough. I felt a slight bump from behind. I turned.
I'm sorry.
Helen.
You must have mistaken.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Big cousin just in time. The throne's sold out. Wish my husband would stand in line. Oh, dear, it's starting to rain. Can I drop you off? My car's around the corner.
We drove a bit into the country. She was nice. Just bored. We pulled into a side road.
She's out of town so much.
My arm was around her shoulder. She snuggled against me. The same heady perfume. Helen's perfume. My free hand reached for the bag with the nylons.
Thanks, dear.
They hung around her like a necklace. I... I knew sooner or later they'd get me. But I couldn't help it. All I knew was that I had to kill Helen. I knew I would have to kill anyone who reminded me of Helen. Until Helen herself was found.
Yes, Commissioner, we've got all the men out. Yes, I'm assigning Keating to it. I'll keep you informed. Goodbye. Keating.
Yes, Inspector?
Come in, please.
Commissioner, on you again?
We've got to do something and do it fast. The city's going crazy. It's only an idea, but it may work. You know the details. Both women wore the same size stockings, same shade. Both used the same perfume, same size clothes. Both pretty, same color hair. Eyes are yours.
Want me to dye my hair?
Right. Now, those nylons, both pairs and the extra pairs found on the women, came from the Silvertone shop on Madison Avenue.
What about a fur coat?
I'll take your pick of the two with the property clerk.
He may lay low for a while, with the panic on.
We'll have to take our chances on that. But if this is the work of a madman, and it looks like it, he'll try it again. Now, drop everything. We'll arrange to have you hang around the counter. The shade is Rosy Dawn, size 9.5, 51 gauge.
There'd be more than one man asking for that. It's the vogue right now, you know.
Yeah, we'll have to take our chances.
Yes, mister, what's yours? Make up your mind, mister. There's lots of people waiting.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I was just looking over there. I thought I recognized someone.
Stand some shade, please.
Rosy Dawn, 9.5, 51 gauge.
They're down there. I'll get them. Rosy Dawn, 9.5. Rosy Dawn, 9.5, 51 gauge, Lieutenant Keating.
Thank you.
Would you mind stepping up this way, ma'am? This is the last box. That gentleman wants a pair, too.
Oh, not at all. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Helen.
Oh, you must be mistaken.
Oh, I'm sorry. You look so much like...
How much, please? $1.65.
I'm sorry to keep staring at you.
You still think I'm Helen.
You could be.
Well?
Care for a lift? I'm taking a cab to 51st and 3rd Avenue.
I don't mind. I live down near 2nd.
Stop, driver.
I told you, sir.
Never mind.
What are you looking at?
That cab in front of the house. Woman getting out. My wife, Helen. Must be coming for her clothes with those bags. Here you are, cabbie. Keep the change. I'll just sit here until she goes in.
So, hubby wanted to play while wifey was away.
What's that? I'm sorry. I need these nylons now for my wife. Driver, take the lady down to 2nd Avenue. Then come back to me in about 15 minutes.
What's your address, lady?
I'll be getting out here, too, as soon as he goes into the building.
Who's there? Anybody there? Is that you, Henry?
Yes, darling. It's me.
scared me.
I scared you? Mild, meek, adoring Henry? Your husband? Scared you?
Don't talk like that, Henry. I explained everything in my wire. You got it, didn't you?
Your wire? Yes, my darling. Made everything clear. Very clear. The cold and the wind and the rain. Standing in line for hours and hours. For nylons. My darling.
Don't come near me. Stay away from me.
Don't be alarmed, darling. I brought you some nylons. Look. Pretty?
I really don't need them. I got plenty.
More after these.
Stop it!
I won't need any more nylons. I could hear trying to revive Helen. It was no use. She'd come in too late. And she bent over me. Summoning what strength I had, I grabbed her leg.
No!
As her head hit the wall, the gun dropped. I grabbed her.
Better not.
Get up. Sit in that chair.
You're the nylon murderer, aren't you?
Yes. You're a detective. Pretty smart.
What are you going to do?
Strange. I wanted to kill you. When I saw you in the store, Miss,
Lieutenant Keating.
Now that Helen is gone, I feel at peace. I don't want to kill anyone.
I know how you feel, Henry.
I loved her. You believe that, don't you?
Sure.
She was no good. Get up.
What for?
Get up, I said. I walk over to that cot. Go on. Open the door. Now turn around. Don't try anything or I'll have to shoot. Walk in. Sorry. So sorry, Miss Keating. Now, they can come and get you. Both of you.
Keating? Keating, you all right?
Nasty bump. Did he get away? He was bleeding pretty badly.
Well, the blood leads into the bedroom. Crazy fool. He's hanged himself. With nylons.
Crazy? I wonder.
Cut him down, Brady.
Too late, Inspector. There's a note on the floor.
Let's see it. Miss Keating will understand. Do you, Lieutenant?
Yes, Inspector. I do.
Now, wasn't that a wasteful cop? Imagine cutting poor Henry down. Ruined a perfectly good pair of nylons. He should have untied the knot. Well, one way or another, it goes to prove that when you've got a case of nylons, you've got your hands full. As for poor Henry, one way or another, he faces a long stretch.
Well, there's one good thing about it, Mr. Host.
With Henry dead, ladies can stand in nylon lines once again without being afraid.
Yes, Mary, tomorrow is another and a happier day for the ladies.
Oh, but it needn't be just for the ladies, Mr. Host. Tomorrow can be a red-letter day for their families, too. That is, if they remember to put Lipton tea on tomorrow's grocery order tonight. How about that, friend? Jot it down right now so you'll surely remember. You'll be doing yourself and your family a good turn because you'll all love grand Lipton tea. Everybody does. Because Lipton's has such delightful, brisk flavor. Because it's so satisfying and zestful. Don't let another day go by without trying it, will you? Tomorrow, be sure it's Lipton tea you ask for and Lipton's you get. Because Lipton tea has that wonderful, brisk flavor.
And now, friends, before I bid you a fond farewell, I must tell you about the wife of a friend of mine who smokes nylon cigarettes. Yes, it burns her up. She has to roll her own, but she sure gets a run for her money. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is The Lying Lady by Robert Finnegan. And next week, the makers of Lipton Tea and Lipton Soups bring you another Inner Sanctum story directed by Hyman Brown, starring Victor Moore, the famous Hollywood and Broadway star. It's called Murders in the Moor. A scalp-raising, toe-tingling story about a little man and a big knife and girls. Lots of girls. But most of them will be no good to anybody because they end up dead. Until next week, then, and our special star, Victor Moore, good night.
For tomorrow's lunch, let's see. Now, why not serve creamed salmon with peas? And lead off with a soup that's super. Wonderful Lipton's noodle soup. You've never tasted better fresh-cooked chickeny goodness in your life than you get in homemade-tasting Lipton's noodle soup. Now, that I can promise you. It's easy to prepare, too, and costs less, yet makes lots more than ordinary canned soups. So why not get a supply tomorrow of Lipton's Noodle Soup? And tune in next week for another Inner Sanctum Mystery.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I find those quite often be kind of spine tinglers, so... Okay, I've indulged that part of it. Let's go back a bit further to 1939. Information, please. Which wasn't a bad program, although it doesn't sound like it's very exciting. But the reason for this one is I think, can't be sure, but I think this might be the first appearance of Mike Wallace on network radio. And I believe this was February of 1939. Shall we hear what this young college student sounds like?
Information, please. Presented each week at this time by Canada Dry, famous the world over for its fine beverages. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. Every week at this time, Canada Dry gives you a chance to pit your brains against ours. It's easy money, ladies and gentlemen, and here's how to get it. You may submit from 1 to 3 original questions per letter. If your question is used, you receive $5 and $10 additional if it stumps the board, so you may win $15 in all. Don't worry yourself into an early grave if our editorial staff changes or edits your question slightly. All questions become the property of Information, Please. Letters with questions are to be addressed to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City. And now, before I introduce our master of ceremonies, may I do just a little bragging for Canada Dry and Information, Please. Last Saturday, the radio editors of the United States and Canada voted our show the best quiz program on the air. We want to thank them for their votes of confidence, and we are going to try to keep on deserving it. And now, information, please, puts its horn back in its pocket and presents its master of ceremonies, Mr. Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, Information Please is unrehearsed and informal. I do the pitching, and four authorities catch as catch can. The catchers tonight include our three regulars, Franklin T. Adams, famous columnist of the New York Post, John Kira, the encyclopedia of Information Please, the irrepressible Oscar Levant, pianist, composer, at present musical director of the Broadway success, The American Way. Our fourth man tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is a mere beardless boy, a student at the University of Michigan, selected by his university to represent the spirit of youth on our program. We're glad to welcome 21-year-old Myron Wallace. And Myron, you don't mind if I call you Myron, do you? I hope that at 9 p.m. you won't look 20 years older than you do now. Now, if or when these gentlemen muff a question, Canada Dry rings up $10. Paid out promptly to the person submitting the stumper. Okay, here we go. Now, the first question, coming in from Mr. Swift Adams of Rochester, New York, involves the use of alibis. What are the usual alibis under the following four circumstances? Suppose you're stopped by a policeman for speeding. What do you say? Myron.
Oh, the hospital, your wife?
My
that
wife?
That sort of thing. Anybody's wife.
Anybody's wife? No, that's even worse. That's even worse. You generally pick a wife and stick to it. Yes, that would be one alibi. Did you have another one, Mr. Levant?
Well, I just robbed a bank.
That'd be all right for you, Mr. Levant.
Well, I'm in a hurry.
Wouldn't work for everybody. Mr. Adams.
My speedometer didn't work.
Yes, that's the one most customarily used. My speedometer didn't work. It's always a good idea to follow that up by saying, haven't you got a couple of tickets to sell me for the police game? That's also very helpful. Now, what's the alibi that you use when you overbid in bridge? I don't play bridge, hence this happy disposition of mine. I'm going to accept practically any alibi. When you overbid in bridge.
What does that mean? I don't play bridge.
You don't play? Oh, you're out, Mr. Levant.
No, explain the whole game to me.
I will some other time. That leaves only three. Do you play bridge, Myron?
Well, not a very good game.
That's all right. You can get on this program not playing a very good game. Now, when you overbid in bridge, what alibi do you usually use? Guess you don't know.
I never overbid.
I know, but that's no alibi, Mr. Kieran. Well, the usual alibi, I think, is... Do you have one, Myron? No?
It's not a very good one.
I forgot we were vulnerable. Don't you often say that? I forgot we were vulnerable. That's one wrong.
Don't know anything about bridge.
Sorry. Oh, we caught them on this. When the cake doesn't come out so well, assuming that any of you baked cake, when the cake doesn't come out so well...
Where are we, gals?
For the moment... For the nonce, as it were, for the nonce. Mr. Adams.
The stove didn't work.
Stove didn't work? They do say that. Myron.
The Fuller Brush Man kept me at the door.
That's a good one. I'm going to accept that. Well, thank you very much. That's a peach. And now I really ought to throw this one at you, Myron. When you flunked an exam, what do you generally say? Or don't you ever flunk an exam, Myron?
Oh.
2 months.
Grades will be out next week. Oh, I'd say offhand, though. Well, it's the truth, though. I don't ever remember having been in the situation.
Oh, well, a very, very bright boy. Mr. Adams, you remember having been in that situation, no doubt.
I don't think anybody here remembers such a thing.
Yes, nobody from Michigan. All right,
Mr. Kieran. I think you're barking up the wrong tree, boy.
I'm the wrong man. All right, Mr. Kieran, you flunked an examination.
I studied the wrong book.
Well, I got 3 out of 4 on that. I think just to make you downhearted, we ought to ask for 4 out of 4 on that. And so that's going to cost Canada Dry $10. Going out to Mr. Adams.
That's offhand.
Nice work, boys. What can you do with this one? It comes from Dorothy Bachmeyer of Seattle, Washington. Now, you have to go back to your mother goose on this one. Think back to your mother goose. On what charge might each of the following be brought to justice? On what charge? First is the sparrow. On what charge would the sparrow be brought to justice? Mr. Adams.
Murder.
Murder, yes. What did the sparrow do?
Killed Cock Robin.
He killed Cock Robin, yes, with his bow and arrow. Thank you very much. The Knave of Hearts. The Knave of Hearts. Mr. Kieran.
Thievery. He stole some tarts.
He stole some tarts. But in justice to him, we must remember that he reformed at the end, brought back the tarts. Three, the man I met when I was going to St. Ives. Mr. Kieran.
Double... Triple bigamy.
Polygamy.
Yeah, double, triple bigamy, polygamy, heptagamy, actually.
Yeah, that'd be
heptagamy. Yes. Had seven wives.
Wives.
I think you might convict him of lunacy just as well as polygamy. Seven wives, all right. That's three out of three. How about little Tommy Tittlemouse? Little Tommy Tittlemouse. This is a tough one, little Tommy Tittlemouse.
What's the name of that book?
Mother Goose. Don't you remember it?
Never heard of it.
You never were a child, Mr. Levant. You ought to try it sometime. Lovely experience. Little Tommy Tittlemouse.
Lived in a little house.
Yes, but that's not a crime.
On the contrary.
Well, the proper answer is poaching. He caught fishes in other men's ditches. Remember that now? He caught fishes in other men's ditches. You won't accept it?
Never got up to that.
Well, you don't know your little Tommy Tittlemouse.
No.
What can you do with Goosey Gander? What charge could you bring against Goosey Gander? Miss Curran.
Being a vagrant.
Why?
Wandered.
Wandered. Where'd he wander?
Upstairs and downstairs and in my lady's chamber.
Nice chorus work, gentlemen. Nice chorus work. Yes, you might convict him of that. Trespassing might be the proper word. And also another crime.
He's in that
throwing a man downstairs.
Yes, but that's what would you call that in legal language?
Mopery.
I beg pardon? No.
Assault
and battery. Yes, assault and battery.
I know my mother goes.
You knew that, didn't you?
I know my mother goes.
But you didn't come in on this question
at all. Assault. I said assault.
Oh, assault. Yes, but you have to add battery.
Battery.
Sure. Now, while we're on the question of crime, I ought to mention that some weeks ago, on January 3rd, Cornelia Otis Skinner appeared on this program. We had a somewhat similar question. And to one of the questions, she answered, Peeping Tom. And I didn't accept peeping as a crime. And many listeners, particularly attorneys, have criticized us for refusing to accept peeping as a crime. And they maintain that it is. And I'm awfully sorry. And hereafter, with information, please, remember, gentlemen, peeping is a crime.
The state does it. The state listens in on phone conversations.
Yes. Is that peeping?
Well, I don't know.
Sounds more like poaching. All right. That's 4 out of 5, and they were supposed to get 4 out of 5 on that. See what you can do with this one. From Mr. William Russell of Chicago. If you were arranging a score for a movie for each of these characters, what familiar song would you select for each one? This is a tough one, eh? Want me to give you a little rest? Let's have Al Smith first. What familiar song would you... Myron, let's have Al Smith.
The Sidewalks of New York.
Yes, East Side, West Side, the Bowery. Very good. Carrie Nation. Mr. Levant.
She's the one who hatched up those things, those saloons.
Yes.
Drink to me only with thine eyes.
Drink to me only with... That's a pretty one. Very good. Very good, Mr. Levant. Father Divine. Mr. Levant again.
Wonderful. It's marvelous. You should care for me. Wonderful. Peace.
Yes, very good. That's very good, yeah. Or have you heard I Married an Angel might possibly be. W.C. Fields. W.C. Fields. Myron?
How dry I am.
All right. That'll get by. Very good, Myron. You learn a lot of things in Michigan that you're not supposed to.
When a body...
Now, the fifth and last on this is a surprise, because it's I. I suppose you fellows think of me more as a plot than a character. But I'm going to ask you to tell me what familiar song you would select for Clifton Fadiman. Mr. Levant.
Get out of town.
Oh. I'm going to go right on with this program just as if Mr. Levant weren't in it. The next question comes from Mr. Rudolph Hirsch of Philadelphia. This is a question involving your knowledge of American history. I'm going to ask you to identify each of the following. There are 4 identifications. First, the Green Mountain Boys. The Green Mountain Boys. Mr. Levant.
I didn't.
Oh, that wasn't you at all. Mr. Kieran.
Ethan Allen's Green Mountain Boys, and also another leader up there who were in the Revolutionary War and stormed...
So what'd they capture?
Well, Fort Ticonderoga.
That's correct, yes. So it's the Troop of Irregulars from Vermont, which, by the way, is still full of irregulars, led by Ethan Allen, who captured Fort Ticonderoga.
Right.
That's right.
Johnny Reb. Name of the great Jehovah and the Continental Congress.
Say, this chorus.
team.
Do you want to get into that, Myron, and lead them? Johnny Reb. Identify Johnny Reb. That's pretty easy one, I think. Mr. Adams.
The Confederate Army.
Well, who gave the name to the Confederate soldiers?
The Northern soldiers?
Yes, the Northern. It was a name criticism. Johnny Reb's name given by Northerners to Confederate soldiers during the Civil War. Now, the next one is perhaps a little harder. Who were the Molly Maguires? The Molly Maguires. Mr. Kieran?
That was a bunch of coal miners who were a little bit put out and banded themselves into a roughneck squad out there. And the United States government agents, I believe, brought them to justice and put them out of business.
That's approximately correct, yes. A secret organization of Pennsylvania miners. They were, I think, put down by the Pinkerton agency.
Pinkerton.
By the Pinkerton.
Yes.
Do you remember at what time they operated, Mr. Kern?
It was around about 50-odd years ago.
1865 to 1875. That's good enough. Do you have anything to add to that?
I was a member of that. I come from Pittsburgh.
Really?
The Molly Maguires, they call
Molly Maguire Levant. Okay. All right, Molly. See what you can do with this one. The Gas House Gang. Mr. Myron, did you have the...
Well, that's not American history.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's Civic, Star City. It's the St. Louis Cardinals, but
yes,
I mean...
Well, that's American history. That's perfectly all right.
Sorry, St. Louis.
St. Louis Cardinals, yes, under Frisch. And also it was given to another organization.
Well, it was originally in New York.
In New York.
10th and 11th Avenue.
10th, one block
yes.
out. 10th Avenue, 10th Avenue Boys. And also to a corrupt political organization in Philadelphia.
Thank you to leave my name out of
that. Thank you, Mr. Levant. That's 4 out of 4. What can you do with this one? This comes from Miss Betty Branch of Memphis, Tennessee. What blonde, who moved in on a family of three, was forced to take it on the lam? This does not test your knowledge of American history. Mr. Adams. You thought you knew it. If you can get your mind off the blonde, I'll think of the question now for a moment.
Mary.
I beg your pardon?
Mary.
Mary? You mean the one who had the little lamb?
Yes.
What was the family of three that she moved in on? I think I've got you there.
You have me there.
Yeah, I think I have you there. Do you want to retire in disgrace?
Yes.
Or you'll come back and do better next time. How about it, Mr. Kieran? You know?
No, sir.
Myron? Mr. Levant? The blonde who moved in on a family of three and was forced to take it on the lamb is Goldilocks. You remember? Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Perfectly simple.
Like a vice president.
Myron, do you have a comment on that?
You should have had it in that bear question.
I should have had it in the bear question before. That's right. The next one from Miss Ona B. Whitcomb of East Cleveland, Ohio. Give the titles of 4 books or plays that mention possible members of a circus troupe. For example, Mark Twain's story, The Stolen White Elephant, would mention a possible member of a circus troupe. Do you get the idea?
Like Tony Galento, would that be bad?
Wouldn't be bad. No, wouldn't be bad.
Not a book, a play,
no,
nor
not
an
a book
animal.
Yet. No, he hasn't been dramatized yet.
That's what you say. Tell him, John.
Won't let him in. Won't let him in. Myron, do you have one?
I don't know whether it would count. He who gets slapped.
Well, I don't think that is about it.
That's about
a circus background.
And they do slap clowns still.
They do slap clowns.
Down
pretty subtle.
Square
That's
Garden.
Too subtle for this program. That may be okay out in Michigan. That's too subtle for us. Mr. Adams.
Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Oh, you're coming back, are you? Goldilocks and the Three Bears. All right. But I won't count that as three, Mr. Adams. Just one. Three bears would be one. Mr. Levant.
Ferdinand the Bull.
Ferdinand the Bull is perfectly all right. Do they have bulls in circuses much these days?
They can switch if they don't like bulls.
I don't know. Maybe they do have. I'll count a bull.
Jumbo. Oh, Jumbo. That show, Jumbo.
Yes, that's right. A bull would do.
Jumbo.
Mr. Elephant.
Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright.
That's not a book or play. It's a poem.
The Lady or the Tiger.
You take it. The Lady or the Tiger. Yes,
thanks,
you stole that
Brett.
From Mr. Adams.
Yeah, I did.
Mr. Levant.
Suggestion.
That's three. Oh, I think we ought to have a few more.
Tony Galento, I like.
You want to stick to that for a while? She didn't bring him in the latter half of the program. Mr. Adams, do you have one?
The Lion of St. Mark's.
Is it a book?
By G.A. Henty.
The Lion of St. Mark's by G.A. Henty. Very, very good. Mr. Kieran.
The Lion and the Mouse, but I don't remember who wrote it.
Charles Klein.
Yes, but stop sticking to lions, boys, will you? Let's have some more animals. How about The Daring Young Man on the Flying Trapeze? That would be one by William Saroy. And how about The Tattooed Countess by Carl Van Vechten? Mr. Kieran.
Horses, horses, horses.
All right, yes. Horses, horses, horses. That'll do. The Pony Rider Boys in the Ozarks. That's a cinch to stock up this circus. Well, let's see. So far, I find that because of a number of inexpert answers on the part of our experts, Canada Dry has paid out $20. And now, Mr. Cross, perhaps you'd like to pay Canada Dry the compliment of your expert testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. Oscar Wilde once wrote,
The only pleasant things to pay are compliments.
Lady Windermere's fan, Act One.
Exactly. And since a compliment is the expression of admiration...
Webster's Dictionary, page 249.
Precisely, Mr. Fadiman. But to continue, since a compliment is the expression of admiration, the modern host can always compliment his guests by serving sparkling Canada Dry water. For their favorite drinks are livelier and better tasting when made with this fine club soda. They're livelier because of an exclusive process known as pinpoint carbonation, a process that enables Canada Dry water to retain its life and sparkle for 24 hours after the bottle has been opened. And they're better tasting because this sparkling water is produced with the same exacting care that is taken with Canada Dry ginger ale. So why not compliment yourself as well as your guests by placing at the very top of your shopping list sparkling Canada Dry water?
Why, Mr. Cross, that took only 47 seconds.
Well, then, with the 13 seconds left, let me say simply that leading hotels, clubs, and restaurants compliment their guests by serving Canada Dry sparkling water.
Thanks, Mr. Cross. And now we'll get back to the last half of our program. Here's a question coming from Boston, from Mr. Ellis Parker of Boston. What would be the modern equivalent? That's in slang, you gather. And none of this 1908 slang, Mr. Adams. We want 1939 slang or nothing.
Practically yesterday for me.
All right, you can get out of this. What would be the modern equivalent of each of the following quotations from Shakespeare? The first is, if music be the food of love, play on. But Mr. Curran.
Swing it, kid.
Okay. The next quotation, which is from Hamlet. He is of a very melancholy disposition. Mr. Levant.
He's a wet blanket.
He's a wet blanket. It's good. Mr. Adams, do you have one?
Sourpuss.
Okay, and Myron.
What a droop.
Gee, that's the collegiate slang. What a droop. Slap him on the back, Mr. Adams. We need somebody like that in this program.
How many generations have we got here now?
We got about six or seven. Here's one from Hamlet. When we have shuffled off this mortal coil.
What?
You don't know the line, do you, Mr. Levant?
I didn't hear it.
I'll give it to you again. When we have shuffled off this mortal coil, it's poetry, Mr. Levant. Mr. Kieran.
Kick the bucket.
When we kick the bucket. Do you have another one, Myron?
Croak.
Croak.
Croak. All right. The two Michigan boys say croak.
The best one is he turned cold. He turned cold. It was just Wilson Meisner's famous one.
He turned cold.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take that. And Wilson Meisner was a couple of years ago. Not very up to
date. He went to Michigan last year.
Did he? Hey, that makes it an all-varsity program this evening. Here's the fourth. I have peppered two of them. That's from Henry IV, in case you don't know. I have peppered two of them. All right, Mr. Levant.
Knocked them off. Drilled them.
Bumped them off. Okay. And here's the fifth and last. Lay not this flattering unction to your soul. Mr. Kieran.
Don't kid yourself.
Okay, Mr. Kieran, that's right. Very good. What a control over the language these boys have. The next comes from Mr. A. Matthews of Ontario, Canada. And Mr. Matthews wants you to play the music which would be appropriate for each of the following periods of life. Babyhood, childhood, adolescence. That's a long word, Mr. Levant. Adolescence. What comes after childhood?
Puberty.
Thanks. Manhood and womanhood. Take your choice. And old age. Let's have some appropriate music for babyhood.
Well, that's easy.
It is easy. What are you going to play?
By Brahms.
All right, it's very pretty. Want to play a little more of it?
With repeats.
Well, the baby's growing up. Look out, Mr. Levant. Not too much of it. All right, now let's have childhood, if you can.
You mean indeterminate childhood?
Childhood. Anything after about, three and a half. Three and three quarters, make it. Childhood. Spring song?
Spring song.
Yeah, spring song. Yes, that would be good. That'd be fine.
Take me out to the ball game would be good, too.
That would be all right. How about adolescence? Adolescence.
What do you mean?
Adolescence is when you first fall in love, maybe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's what you think.
Romeo and Juliet with Tchaikovsky.
That's good. Oh, that's very nice. Yes, I love that. Very warming to the cockles of the heart. Thank you very much, Mr. Levant. Do you want to stick with that for a while?
No, I'm sick of that.
All right. We'll let adolescence go. Now, manhood and womanhood together, I believe that's the time of marriage, more or less. What can you do with manhood and womanhood?
You're going to
on the piano. All right, wedding march.
That's if you're lucky.
That's very nice and respectful. You don't want to go on with that either, do you?
Well, I guess they'll do the lullaby again.
All right, let's have a lullaby. Information, please, gives you, by courtesy of Mr. Levan, a complete pianistic picture of life. Now, old age.
You mean dead?
Well, pretty near dead, Mr. Levant, pretty near dead.
Well, when they turn cold, they always play this.
All right, do that one.
Picture,
yes, that lends us that ends on a nice, hilarious note. Thanks very much, Mr. Levan. I'm glad to get that. Gee, we covered a lot of ground in that question. What can you do with this one? From Mr. Milton Simon of Bridgeport, Connecticut. What have these four men in common? William Shakespeare, Woodrow Wilson, Robert Taylor, Huey Long. Mr. Kieran.
They each moved their legs when they walked.
You know, I have no comeback on that one, Mr. Kieran. No comeback. That's undoubtedly true. And if I were in a better-natured mood than I am, I'd accept it.
Well, they weren't vice
Myron, how about it?
Mr. Fadiman's, Mr. Kieran's going to have tough sledding next week on account of that one.
Yeah, he's going to have very tough sledding on account of that one. You watch what happens to you next week, Mr. Kieran. Do you know the answer to the question, Myron?
I know the answer to why I was going to have tough sledding.
No. That's not the question. What is the answer, however?
No snow.
Oh, come. This collegiate slang is too much for me. Tough on you, too, Mr. Adams, isn't it?
It's an epigram.
Who are the four again?
Oh, you're still on this question? All right. I didn't know you were interested in this question. Here it is. What have these four men in common? William Shakespeare, Woodrow Wilson, Robert Taylor, and Huey Long.
They were all college men.
They're all college men?
All except Shakespeare.
What colleges did they attend?
That's true. He didn't go. I don't know anything about Shakespeare.
No, that wouldn't be the answer, I don't
think. They all went to college.
No, I'm sorry. The answer is this. William Shakespeare, Woodrow Wilson, Robert Taylor, and Huey Long, and I'm looking particularly at you, Mr. Kieran, were all well-known football players of recent years, playing with Notre Dame, Army, Columbia, and Army, respectively.
Well, I was right. I said they were all college.
I know, but you didn't mean that, Mr. Levan.
How do you know?
I can tell by your eye. Mr. Kieran, would that be right? They were all the
well-known
footballers.
Yeah, that's
right. Some nicknames in there.
Well, Huey is a nickname, but I think the others are not. I've got Huey in quotes.
Who was Woodrow Wilson?
Woodrow Wilson?
Played for Army.
Played for Army some years ago.
Where was that?
No, last year.
Last year. All right.
Who was away last year?
Stumped you on that one. Canada Dry, therefore, is going to ring up $10 on that. Thank you. Now, Mr. P.H. Clark of Winnetka, Illinois, sends in the following. Each of the following is a member of a famous group of three. Name the other two in each case. The first is Meshach, M-E-S-H-A-C-H. Mr. Adams.
Shadrach and Abednego.
Who were they?
There were three boys that went in the fiery furnace.
Yes, from the Bible. And by the way, there's a very good spiritual written about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, but I don't suppose any of you listen to the radio, so you wouldn't know. Do you know it, Myron?
Oh, no. Some band, I don't know the name of it, has done an excellent... A lot of bands have been doing excellent records of that.
Yes,
slim version.
Yes, I don't think that sounds like a plug, so we left that on. That's all right. Tinker, name the other two. They all know that. All right, Mr. Levant, we'll give you a chance.
Tinker's Evans a chance.
Yes,
Boston, Chicago Cubs.
Chicago Cubs.
1909.
Double play combination. Mr. Adams, didn't you once write a poem about Tinker to Evans a chance?
Yes, only once.
Only once. That was a good poem, wasn't it? Let's have the other two of the famous trio... Of which Aramis is one. Aramis. Mr. Adams.
Porthos and Aramis.
Porthos and what? Take it easy, Mr. Adams.
Porthos and Athos.
You've got me going now. Porthos and Athos. Yes, forming what trio?
Three Musketeers.
The Three Musketeers. Yes. I beg your pardon, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, never had so much politeness on this program before. Go on, get into that microphone, Mr. Levant. What can you do with Chico? Chico, Mr. Levant.
Harpo and Groucho,
yes. Weren't they originally four Marx brothers?
There were five, Zeppo and Gummo.
Yeah. All right. And fifth and last on this trio question, Nod. Nod, Myron.
Winkin' Blinkin'
and Nod in Eugene Field's famous poem. Well, that was a pretty easy one, don't you think? Let's see what you can do with this one.
Not for Mr. Adams.
Oh, Mr. Adams did pretty well. He just didn't know how to say Athos, that's all. It's a hard word. The next question from Mr. Austin D. Hall... of Newtonville, Massachusetts. How is each of the following associated with iron? Iron, you know, the metal iron. One, Joe McGinnity.
Mr. Jerry.
He was called Iron Man Joe McGinnity because he, on four or five occasions, pitched and won doubleheaders at ball games in an afternoon.
That's three occasions, right.
I believe.
And, Mr. Kieran, wasn't Mr. Muldoon also called the Iron Man, or was it the Solid Man?
Solid Man.
I beg your pardon. All right. Oliver Cromwell, what's his association with iron? Can any of you think of that?
Yes.
Mr. Kieran?
His troops were called the Ironsides.
Why?
Well, they had the breastplate of hammered iron or steel or whatever it was, and they were a very hard-to-beat organization.
Yes, tough crew. Old Ironsides, they were called. That's two out of two. But what's Jack London's association with iron? The American novelist, Jack London.
Reference to his life or to his work?
Either one. You take your choice. Don't try to get anything out of me, Mr. Levant. I am what is known as implacable. Sorry. The answer is that Jack London wrote a very famous novel of the future, sort of futurist novel called The Iron Heel. The Iron Heel. And that'll be one wrong. General Johnson, a former guest of Information, please. Mr. Adams.
Iron Pants.
He was called Iron Pants. Yeah, that's right. And fifth and last, Tom Mooney. What is his association with iron? Myron?
Iron bars.
Yes, but I don't think that's the association I'm looking for. Tom Mooney?
About the union?
Mr. Levant?
A union connected with iron?
No. Well, no, not precisely.
Well?
Now, the answer is that he was a former iron molder. Well, that gives us only 3 out of 5, and that's going to cost Canada Dry $10. I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we'll have time for tonight. Canada Dry seems to be set back to the tune of $40. In a moment, I'll give you the lineup for next week, but in the meantime, Mr. Cross has a word to say.
Have you sent for your Information Please game, the game that will permit you to play Information Please in your own home, just as we do here in the studio? If you haven't, here's all you have to do to get your copy. Tear off the labels from 2 bottles of any of Canada Dry's many beverages. The labels don't have to be perfect, so don't worry if you've torn the corners. Then mail both your labels, or pieces of labels, and 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York. If you live in Canada, the address is Canada Dry, Toronto, Ontario. So write for this fun-packed game tonight. But along with your 2 labels and 10 cents, be sure to include your own name and address.
Thanks, Mr. Cross. Next week at this time, Mr. Kieran and Mr. Adams will be back, ready for the fray. The well-known playwright and author, Mr. Russell Krauss, who has graced our little program before, will be with us again. And finally, as our 4th guest, we present that genial humorist, author of A Pearl in Every Oyster and other collections of good, clean fun, Mr. Frank Sullivan.
Okay, for your perfectionists, I said college student, and up here we kind of interchange college and university, but I guess we are shortchanging him by not saying that he was a university student. And to make up for it, I'm wearing a University of Michigan sweatshirt. I've been wearing one for about 20 years. That's a different story. Oh, I did wash it once in a while, though. Well, let's finish off the night with our friends the Baxters. And their little domestic blisses go on and on for another few months, maybe longer. You've always liked it, I've always liked it, we've always liked it, so we're going to play it.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life, brought to you by the O-Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an O-Cedar Angler Broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. O-Cedar Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
O-Cedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. O-Cedar makes your life easier.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Well, are you going to get it or shall I?
I will, dear. I have to go out and get dinner anyway. Hello? Yes. Yes, it is. Well, no, say something else. Well, say a little more. I can't quite...
Oh, boy, is this one of those guess who this is things?
Oh, come on, tell me. Oh, come on. Oh, for goodness sake.
Well, who is it?
Well, my goodness.
Who is it?
I don't know. Yeah, well, I'm just fine. How are you? Yes, he's fine, too. He's sitting right here. Yeah, all right. It's Phyllis, dear. She says hello.
Phyllis who?
Oh, he says hello to you, too, Phyllis. Now, oh, I can't guess where you are. What do you mean?
I bet they're right down here at the village store.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Yes, that is just 2 minutes away.
Oh, boy.
Bittersweet Lane, yes. Right up. Big sign says Baxter's. You can't miss it. Oh, oh, you come on now. You can do more than just stop and say hello. You're certainly staying for dinner.
Take it easy with your invitations.
Oh, yes, you are. It's dinner time. Well, you'll have to take potluck, but you're certainly not barging in, as you put it.
I've got a lot of work to do tonight that I brought home from the office.
All right, see you in 2 minutes, and we'll argue it out then. All right, goodbye.
Okay, who's coming? Who are they?
It is not Phyllis Johnson. I would have known her voice. It's not Phyllis Holbert because she said Bill says hello to. Phyllis and Bill.
Yellowstone Park, the people we met when we were riding those mules.
No. That was a dentist and his wife from Ohio.
Phyllis say?
Oh, they're taking a month's trip of the USA. Suddenly looked at the map, realized we lived here, and we'd never forgive them if they didn't at least stop and say hello. And here they are, pulling in the drive.
You invited them for dinner.
Oh, well.
Well, what are you going to have? You said we were just having leftovers.
Well, they're not going to stay for dinner, dear.
But you invited them and insisted
on it. Honey, they won't stay. Bill, she said, wants to make another 100 miles tonight. He's one of those, apparently. Oh, they're getting up. Oh, I know who they are. Your business convention, Montreal, 5 years ago?
Oh, yes. Bill.
We stayed up every night with him until 3 a.m.
Yeah. He's with that. Yeah. Oh, what? Clinger, Nuts and Bolts. Oh, Bill.
Baxter. That's what we laughed at for 5 whole days. Now, what's so funny about having the same last name escapes me.
Oh, yeah. Bill and Phil.
Yes.
That was funny, too.
Bill!
Hey, how are you? Come on in. You must be tired. Put it in.
Come in.
Good to see you. We are not staying.
No, just now. Long enough to say hello. We want to get in another 100 miles tonight.
Oh, Bill, now, come on. You aren't even in the house, and you're already saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Now you should relax, have dinner with us, and spend the night.
Absolutely not. I told Phil when she insisted on calling you.
We were just driving along, and I looked at the map, and I just... screamed, didn't I, Bill?
Yeah, she let out this war whoop.
I said, this is where the Baxters live. And I said...
And she said, the Baxters have to say hello to the Baxters.
Oh, very good. Yes. Well, we're just delighted you popped in.
Well, I told Phyllis. I said, we're not staying. We're not causing them any trouble. These jokers who drop in unexpectedly.
Oh, no. Listen, we have a guest room.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. We are not staying overnight.
Well, you can at least have some dinner with us, for goodness
sake. Well, what do you say, Daddy? You know, we'd stop to eat anyway.
Well, oh, I knew it. I knew she'd talk me into it.
Well, fine. That's settled. I'll just go and see.
If we're staying for dinner, would you mind terribly if I just threw a few things in the washing machine?
Why, no, I should, of course not.
You're sure?
Why, positive, it's no trouble. I know what it's like when you travel. You go bring in the things you want washed, Phyllis.
You want me to get the laundry bag out of the car?
Oh, yes, dear, if you will. Well, I'll come out, too. Some things I want to dig out of the suitcases. Well, as long as I'm washing.
Well, What are you going to give them for dinner?
I've got things in the freezer. Hamburgers, chicken, casseroles. I can just throw something in the oven. Got frozen pies. And it really isn't any trouble, dear.
They're going to stay overnight, you know.
Oh, no. Oh, no. They won't stay overnight.
Want a bet?
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Datril. I compared labels. Datril has no aspirin either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Datril can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Datril, new from Bristol-Myers.
The programs of the Radio Playhouse present a new opportunity for radio listeners to make some new friends. Mr. and Mrs. Baxter on the little things in life are a good example. You'll recognize many of their tiny frustrations and trivial catastrophes. They've happened to you, too. We hope you're enjoying the program and that this new series brings a smile into your home. Why don't you tell us your reaction? Won't you please write us at Little Things in Life, 345 Park Avenue, New York, New York 10022, or your local station, if you can find some stamps.
Honey, can I help you out here with anything?
Where are they?
Taking clothes out of suitcases out in the driveway, getting that laundry together. Kind of a lot of nerves, don't you think?
Shh, be quiet. I've got a marvelous chicken casserole in here I can put in the oven.
Let's face it, we hardly know them. Business convention 5 years ago, we've never seen them since, and now they drop in to do their laundry.
No. I understand exactly how she feels. It's one thing to be washing clothes out in motel bathrooms every night and trying to find a place to hang them, and you never get slacks really clean. It's nice to dump them in the washing machine,
you know? There are plenty of laundromats around this country they could patch.
Why, dear, I'm surprised that you ever act this way.
Well, I'm kind of surprised at myself, but I've just got a feeling that we're going to...
Shh, keep quiet. What do you think about having the chicken casserole? It's really not a casserole. It has that marvelous red sauce. I made it last week and froze it. It's the one you like?
Oh, that sounds great.
Oh, hi, Phyllis. Did you find all your dirty clothes?
Oh, yes, but I'm afraid I'll have more than one lot. I've got a red jacket and some navy blue slacks and an orange sweater.
Well, the washing machine's right out there in the laundry room.
Oh,
right,
fine. It's not very polite, I know, to ask what we're having for dinner, but I just wanted to say that we eat very simply. Very simply.
Well, as a matter of fact, we do, too.
Yeah, we're not having lobster Newburgh or pheasant under glass.
Oh, well, I didn't even mean that. I have to watch Bill's diet. Nothing fat because of his cholesterol and his gallbladder.
Oh.
No salt, no eggs, no pies, pastries.
No salt. Well, I was going to have a chicken dish I made, but it has lots of garlic and onions and the red tomato sauce.
Oh, no. I can't take the garlic or onions.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I love them, but they just don't love me. Oh, dear,
well,
I'm
no,
sorry.
Well, no, that's all right. I'll put it back in the freezer. Now, what did you have in mind when you said you eat simply?
Well, we got plenty of hamburgers in the freezer. Yeah. They're simple. Yes.
Oh, it's red meat. Bill and I don't eat that anymore.
You turned into vegetarians?
Well, no, not really. We like lamb and chicken, plain chicken, just broiled, no salt, and we eat lots of fish.
Fish, well, now I may have some frozen haddock or some scrod.
Oh, that would be fine. Just bake it in foil with some lemon juice.
Oh, all right. Just a minute, I'll look and see if I have some.
Oh, Bill and I have changed quite a lot of our eating habits. For breakfast now, for example, we don't have orange juice, we have prune juice. Tea instead of coffee, whole wheat bread, never white, things like that.
I see.
Well, get my laundry started.
All right, Phyllis.
Got any fish in the freezer?
I'm looking. Yes, I do, but I don't know if it's enough.
Cook it for them.
Yeah.
Fix us some hamburgers. Have a mixed grill.
Mixed grill, yes, that sounds good.
Did you notice you got their breakfast menu?
Yes, I noticed.
Phyllis!
She's out here, Bill. She's in the laundry room. Bill wants you, Phyllis.
Be right there! I'm sorting clothes.
Boy, you folks certainly got a nice place here.
Oh, well, thank you, Megan. We like it.
Well, what did you want, Bill?
Well, I just got to thinking, aren't you going to put those clothes in the dryer?
Well, of course.
Well, we won't be able to shove off until late doing all that laundry tonight.
Oh, dear, I never thought of that.
Oh, Phyllis, I think we'd better forget washing the clothes.
But I brought everything in now.
Oh, look, why don't you just spend the night? Really, it's no trouble. You know, we have the guest room and
everything.
Oh,
Bill, why don't we stay?
We've been on the go now for 2 weeks, and we need a good rest.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, what did I tell you? She talks me into everything.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'll go and bring in the rest of the bags. Which ones do you want?
Oh, dear, just bring them all in, then I can repack. Oh, I'll come with you. I want to get the thermos and bring some other things in.
Oh, that's
true. Well, you insisted.
Yes, I know. And they've been getting up at 4, she said, because Bill likes to get early starts, so we'll have to get up then tomorrow to get breakfast for them and, you know, say goodbye.
Well, get up at 4 a.m.?
And one of us will have to go to that all-night market to get prune juice and wheat germ and yogurt for their breakfast, you know, because...
Oh, brother.
Just put the bags there, Bill. No, carry them upstairs, dear. I can't tell you how wonderful it is for you to have us.
Oh, just wonderful. You know, we're just delighted you decided to stay. Aren't we, dear? Aren't
yeah, we, dear? Yeah. We're just tickled pink. I should say.
The Little Things in Life has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
And that brings us, thankfully, for most of your ears, to the end of the road for this time around. As always, appreciate you being here. And I guess the next time we'll run across each other is at the marathon next month. Until then, as I always say, good luck, good listening, good night, and goodbye.
I love to listen to my radio. See how it thrills me when I hear it go. Someday you'll hear it too.